Hello and welcome to this episode of the podcast produced by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. We've got a range of things to talk to you about today and to let you know what's going on in the region. Now, there is the HE dispute, it's Menopause Awareness Month, and there are a range of things happening in further education colleges and universities across the region. Please don't forget to like, favourite or subscribe to this podcast in whichever app that you use so that you never miss an episode. Also, share this and let other people know what we're doing. You can also follow us on Twitter at UCU Northern. Thanks for subscribing and enjoy this episode. For those people who like listening to podcasts and who want to find out more about the further education sector, I'm sure you'll be pleased to know that FE Week have brought a new podcast out, which is described as a new free service brought to you by the FE Week team, hosted by the editor Shane Chowan. Shane will be joined by expert guests to unpick the key news and developments from the week and look ahead to key developments in the FE and skills sector. Now, with the demise of the TES FE Focus and the podcast that they produced, this is a welcome piece of news. One of the issues that they're looking at in one of the recent episodes is about the financial hit that colleges are facing. Colleges are facing an unforeseen triple whammy hit to their finances, as an FE Week investigation has found. Budgets nationally are set to be hit by tens of millions due to rising energy, audit and national insurance costs. Julian Gravett, the Deputy Chief Executive of the Association of Colleges, said that government can no longer simultaneously underfund colleges while expecting them to pick up extra bills. Ultimately, it will be students who lose out. The energy crisis hits colleges and it may be a cost of £20 million in total in rising energy costs for this academic year. There's more on this on the FE Week website. Now, you may be aware that October is Menopause Awareness Month, and we've released a number of resources on our regional website to look at this issue, to help to support members and union reps with dealing with this in colleges and in universities. You can find all of these resources at ucunorthern.org.uk, and in particular we've got a video, Menopause Awareness Month, which is Joyce McAndrew, one of our regional support officials, discussing this issue with two of our local representatives, Emma and Yotta, who both work in FE colleges. They talk about the issues that they've had to deal with, the concerns that they have about managers dealing with it, and what colleges can do to help to make people more aware of the impact of the menopause. The video is about 20 minutes long, but here's a little taster for you about the issues that our representatives are talking about and having to deal with in the workplace.
October is Menopause Awareness Month, and this is an opportunity for us to raise awareness of menopause and how it impacts on women in the workplace. So I'm joined by Emma and Yotta, two of our local reps, to talk about this condition and other menstrual-related conditions. I say condition, but actually the menopause is just a natural part of women's lives. But as we know, the hormonal changes can create a number of uncomfortable, difficult, and sometimes embarrassing symptoms. So it impacts women at different ages, but we know the average is 51. And because more women are at work and more women are working later in their lives, it's more likely to be an issue at work. So I wonder if we can start with Emma. And have you had women coming to you to raise issues about this?
Yeah, I have. Over the past couple of years, there's been more and more issues that have come through with members where they've not felt comfortable to tell their line manager their specific symptoms. So there's not been that open dialogue because they felt quite embarrassed. So in some instances where they've worked in rooms that have had unsuitable ventilation, they've not had windows that they could open, so then experiencing issues with hot flushes. That's been a problem. So when they have then raised them without the line manager knowing what the problem is, they've just been deemed as difficult. However, when we've then had that discussion, when we've said to the member, you know, if you tell your line manager, might be able to then work something around. And then we have then started to have that open discussion and to find some solutions. However, even when members have felt comfortable being really open and honest, which takes a lot of courage to say, you know, I'm struggling with these particular symptoms, such as memory loss, as well as night sweats. So obviously impact on how you feel when you come into work, already run down before you start the day. Again, when they have had that open conversation, when they felt comfortable to do that, sometimes again, they've just been perceived as being difficult. So it's to really help the college to really fully understand that this is something that if they're on board with, will just really help everybody, as well as wanting to feel that you're supported as a member of staff by your colleagues and by your line manager. And it's, you know, you're not being perceived as difficult. Because we've even had sometimes where people have, because with what the symptoms being anxiety, as well as memory loss, or being in meetings where you forget something, or you're just not on the ball. There have been some cases where there've been discussions about going down a capability route. You're like, well, that's just not appropriate at all. And this is actually what's happening when we look at past performances for that member of staff. You can actually see that this is the issues, you know, and this is the support that they particularly need. So yeah, absolutely, having lots of anecdotal stories about that members coming to me with particular issues. And I think being a female rep, some members have felt more comfortable to raise that, you know, whereas I think previously we had more male reps as well. But it's something that's everybody needs to be on board with. It's not just a female issue as well. It's something for everyone. So what we have started to do in Sunderland College is we have asked, obviously EPNE, that's including Northumberland as well, and Hartlepool, that we have asked for a policy to be in place as well. And I think that would really address some of our issues. So thinking about timetables, how they could be flexible for our members as well, issues that they can work around, having that full ventilation in classrooms and within their offices to make sure that they're appropriate areas. But I think training for everybody is definitely key, and just have that open discussion. So that's currently where we're up to at the moment.
Now, you probably know that UCU is currently balloting in higher education on two industrial disputes. One is around detrimental changes to the USS pension scheme, and that impacts on our members in Newcastle and in Durham universities, where our members face a drop of around a third in what they will receive in retirement. Now, Four Fights is the general name that we are giving to the campaign on pay, equality, casualisation and workload in the higher education. And that is a dispute that unites all of the higher education institutions in our regions. That's Newcastle, Durham, Northumbria, Teesside, Sunderland and the University of Cumbria. Now, ballot papers went out this week, starting from Monday the 18th of October. And the closing date is Thursday the 4th of November, so please do remember to get your vote in as soon as possible. Now, here are two clips from Twitter which are explaining the issues around the campaigns. The first is from a National Executive member called Joe Edge, and the second is from Joe Grady, the General Secretary of the University and College Union. You can find out more information on our dispute on the national website ucu.org.uk.
I noticed that UCU had recently said they were disappointed that we were looking to take strike action over the four fights, that is, pay, inequality, workload and casualisation. Well, I'm disappointed in our employers collectively for failing to address any of these problems. It's been 7 years since I finished my PhD, as a chronically mentally ill early career researcher. I have since been on a series of insecure contracts at the Universities of Cambridge, Manchester and Edinburgh. The work is there for us to do, but nobody wants to give us that security. Institutions suffer from this and we suffer for it. I am disappointed in our employers, and that's why I'll be voting yes to strike action over pensions and yes to strike action over the four fights. Thank you.
Marks the beginning of one of the biggest fights this union has ever faced. And we're going to need every single one of you. Employers are back and they're attacking our pensions. They've refused to do anything to tackle the disgusting race, gender and disability pay gaps or give us the pay rise we deserve after a decade of cuts. They're doing nothing on unsafe workloads and they're exploiting us with insecure contracts. Friends, it is time to pull back the curtain and to fight back. Your ballot should be arriving from Monday and we are asking you to vote early and to vote yes. The only time our employers listen is when we collectively make our voice heard. So please vote, send that ballot back and take action with your union.
This week the trade union Unison produced a report called The Real Impact of Online Learning. Unison is concerned that saving money and not the needs of the learners or staff is the main motivation as FE colleges move to a mix of online and in-person learning. They commissioned some research into the social impact on learners of online learning and have produced the findings this week. You can find it by searching The Real Impact of Online Learning, Unison. Now, Lee Powell, who is the Unison National Officer, said that we need to take note of what is happening in colleges since any negative impacts will be disproportionately felt by women, by black learners, by those with disabilities and by those who live in economically deprived areas. Since college populations represent a higher proportion of learners with these characteristics than those in other sectors of education. Unison represents thousands of support staff in colleges who care deeply about the learners they serve, she says. Colleges have already been subject to the harsh cuts in the entire, to the harshest cuts in the entire education sector in the past decade, and we must ensure that they're not harmed further by colleges blindly following a blended learning model. Tynecoast College UCU branch have submitted a Pay Plus claim. The claim looks at a range of issues, including pay, but also some working conditions as well. In relation to pay, our research shows that if pay had kept pace with inflation, then the average salary at Tynecoast College would have increased by at least £7,000 a year if salaries had kept pace with inflation over the last 10 years. We are looking for a pay award that addresses that key issue. We're also concerned about the general proliferation in duties undertaken by teaching staff and the lack of awareness and the lack of compensation given for the time that it takes to carry out those tasks. We're also concerned about the attitude of presenteeism among some places in the college where if you're not at your desk, you're not working. That is the attitude that is being applied. And we're looking to change that attitude, and that's why we're talking about it in our Pay Plus claim. You can find all the details of the claim on the UCU Northern Region website. Go to ucunorthern.org.uk. Now, you may well have heard that the University of Sunderland have been victim to a cyber attack, which has had a major impact on their IT systems, which affects not only staff but students as well. And it also affects the operation of the union. So the University of Sunderland UCU branch have set up a new email address, which is uosunderlanducu@gmail.com. That is a way to communicate with branch officers, not just now, but also into the future. And you can also follow them on Twitter or Facebook. On Twitter, please go to @SunderlandUCU. We are trying to use as many ways as possible to communicate with members and keep in touch with them. Thanks very much for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to like, favourite, subscribe, and leave us a rating and a review. It helps other people find this podcast who may well be interested in the work of the union or what's happening in further education and higher education. Please tell others and also check out our website, ucunorthern.org.uk. Thanks for listening.